Glad you're with us today. I want to ask you a couple of questions, because as we've been going through this series on the blessed life, we've been really talking about how do we position ourselves to just pray for others and listen to others and invite them into the kingdom, especially if they have no connection to Jesus. But today we're going to talk about something very specific that's very practical, and maybe some of you have already discovered that you're nervous. I mean, so let me just kind of figure out where you are this morning. How many of you think that the story of how you came to Jesus is really ordinary and it's not really spectacular, so why share it? Put up your hand. Right? How many of you, when you came in and you read the outline, and I'm grateful that you take it, and it says sharing your faith, sharing your story, you ask the question, I have never done this before, and so that makes you nervous about sharing your faith because you don't even know how to do it. How many are you in that spectrum this morning? You know, I'm just nervous. I don't know how to do this. None of you? Then I'm going to go home early today. If you've never really shared your story consistently, you don't understand the power of it. So I don't want you to be nervous. I want to give you some very practical things today. Because here's what I want you to know. Your story is your story. And nobody can refute your story. As we're going to look at in Scripture this morning, of the man who actually had an encounter with Jesus, and he testifies of what Jesus did. So let me do a little bit of a recount here. All month we've been talking about the practical ways to share our faith with people who don't know Jesus, who are curious about Jesus, or even those who just want more information about Jesus. However, we've been talking about these practices as well as, we don't want to be evasive, we're not want to be street corner preachers. That's a method, but that's not the method we're talking about. But we're talking about knowing our neighbors, knowing our friends at work, and building relationships with a purpose. Because the world knows how to be a good neighbor, but we are commanded to be a good neighbor and even given a reason to love others. We're to love like Jesus. That's the vision for our church. And all month we've been dividing this into what we call the blessed practices. So let me, you know, the top of your outline on the left-hand side, you'll see a little bit of a recall here, or a recap. So we begin with prayer. That we're earnestly praying for others and blessing them as we pray for them either in person or during our personal times with Jesus. We're listening to care about their stories that come from others, not to dominate the conversation, but to show empathy for others by hearing their story and sharing their life with you. It's not about us, it's about them. And then eating, one of my favorite ones. We need to eat together because great things happen around a table. Did you know that when we eat together, your body sends signals to the brain saying that you are safe? When I'm eating with others because we have great environments and welcoming spaces to have frank conversations about Jesus, and we can show his love to others. So it's great. We have to eat. So why don't we eat with a mission? Then last week we looked at serve. How do we go out of our way to help other people? Taking the self out of selfishness and putting it on and being selfless. When we serve others, we share our hearts with them in a very powerful way. But today I want to talk about what it means to share a story. So how do you overcome not wanting to share? Because maybe that was the first question I should have asked you. How many want to tell your story? Three of you. All right, well, I'm glad you're here then. This is going to be helpful. Sometimes we're reluctant to share our story because we have these hurdles of sharing that we need to overcome. So let me tell you about three of them this morning. Ready to go? All right, number one, I don't have what it takes. You say, I don't have what it takes. We lack confidence that our story might have a kingdom impact. I have battled with this one for a long time. This is where I've said, I just have to share more. When we share the gospel story or even bear a personal witness to Christ, the Holy Spirit is in our midst. And we just might not notice it right away. It wasn't until I probably shared my testimony 30 times that I actually felt like I had what it took to tell others about the gospel and lead them to Jesus. But let me tell you how to get past "I don't have what it takes." Look at your notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul says, "Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. We lean not on our own power to speak the story or our testimony, but rather we depend on God to communicate through us. Whether you think my story or what I say is may not be good enough, you must double down on the thought that God will communicate the message through you. Our stories are based all around the person that is Jesus Christ, his life and death and resurrection, the great power that only God could do. God's message of redemption has been translated through so many different people throughout multiple ages after the final book of the Bible was written. God is a great communicator of his word, and he will use you to deliver his message through your testimony or a recalling of the gospel message. One of the questions I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven is, why did you choose people to spread your news? Like, we're flawed. We're all different. But yet God, through his providence, has given us the ability to share the good news. Here's what I want you to see in your notes. Believe that the Holy Spirit is in every word that you say, every conversation that you have, every interaction that you're going to have. The Holy Spirit is always at work, whether you know it or not. The second question that we have, the second statement we need to get over is, I don't want to impose. Oh, we're so Canadian. Sometimes we feel like we don't want to impose, and this is a real hurdle. And sometimes it feels like we're asking for money, which is more difficult than asking for a few dollars or talking to God. We all have felt the pressure that is wanting to share the message of God with someone, but we don't want to shove it down their throats. We all want to see the power of Jesus in our neighbors, in our community's lives. And we cling to the verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." All. Not some. All who call upon his name. Every one of us here this morning can call upon his name, and we can have our lives redeemed by Jesus. But don't forget the next verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 14. "How then can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" One thing I know that as a follower of Jesus is that there are a lot of people who do not know what we as Christians do. They have ideas and concepts that mostly have been handed down from stories or from pop culture. However, it's our role to tell people about Jesus and to tell them how to believe in Jesus and ultimately to get to them to the place where they can call upon the name of the Lord and receive freedom from sin and everlasting life. Don't feel like you're imposing, but rather know that you might be the only person willing to share Jesus with that person. I remember having a conversation with my mom. My mom told everybody about Jesus. And when I was a teenager, that was so embarrassing. I mean, we'd go to the store, and I would go actually about 10 feet behind her because I knew what was gonna happen. And I remember sitting down at the table one day and I said, "Mom, I just don't get it. Why do you keep sharing your faith? You're just passionate about it." And she said these words, "I don't want any of my friends, any of my coworkers, that when they stand before God, they look at me and go, you knew about this and you didn't tell me? I do not want to have that conversation in heaven. Changed everything for me. The third thing that we sometimes think about is I feel uncomfortable when I share. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable when we share, which is fair, and we are going to talk about this more and as I teach you how to tell your story in a short but a very effective way. But comfort is important, especially when our story of finding God has twists and turns that hurt maybe even to talk about it. But know this in your notes. Don't fear sharing, but pray for confidence. I was thinking about how uncomfortable feeling and biblical characters that are familiar with that, and I couldn't help but think about the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. This one meets with Jesus at a well, and he tells her what he knows about her, even that she's had multiple husbands, and her response is then to go tell people this line, which overcomes the feelings of being uncomfortable. Look what it says in John chapter 4, verse 39. It's there in your notes. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's what? Testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Can you imagine the freshness of that testimony? Where she says, he told me everything I've done. In this chapter, she goes from someone who hides in her sin. That's why she's at the well at noon when no one else is there. To having multiple husbands, to someone who has told the whole town the testimony of meeting Jesus, which included her sin. We should not be ashamed of the changes we've experienced through Jesus Christ. But rather use that encounter and the way sin has been defeated to demonstrate the power that Jesus has. Our uncomfortable moments are when Jesus' power works the most. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. This is Paul. He's writing in prison. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Remember, last week we acknowledged that the Holy Spirit is at work in everyone all the time. And your testimony can make the gospel just so vivid. That's important. So how do we learn? Flip over your page here. Let's look at this. How do we learn to share our faith? Well, when it comes to sharing your story, we need to approach it like the blind man in John chapter 9. If you have your Bibles or if you have your phone, go to the app, John chapter 9. We're going to look in a little bit more detail into this particular passage. First, we need to know the context of the blind man's testimony. The encounter he had before we actually read about is what he said to the Pharisees, who were the religious rulers at that time. So Jesus is walking down the road, and his disciples are looking for his teaching and asking why the man they met on the road is blind. And Jesus replies, he is blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Then Jesus heals him by sending him away to wash his face, as Jesus had placed mud on his eyes. But here's where the story takes an incredible change in focus from Jesus to the man speaking about the encounter. Look in your notes. Pick it up. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging ask this, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Talk about the transformation. You walk by the same guy for years, begging. You kind of get to know his face. And then this happens. Someone claimed that it was, that was who it was. Others said, no, it only looks like him. But he himself insisted by saying, I am the man. I used to be there. Look at verse 10. Now, how were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus. Just think about the relationship he doesn't have with Jesus. He just knows of his name. He just knows what he did. Made some mud, put it on my eyes, and told me to go into Shalom and wash it. So I went and washed, and then I could see. First, we need to know that this man's life is now changed and is the testimony of Jesus. He has had an encounter that has completely changed his way of life. Note this today. First of all, a testimony is the transformation Jesus gives you. However, his transformation is physical. We too can say the same thing. We know that our encounter with Jesus has led to a different way of living. We have changed our lifestyle because of our encounter. Maybe even Jesus physically healed you. And you can say that Jesus physically changed your life, or if your philosophy or daily life practices are different because of him. However, the testimony continues. The author, John, continues to follow the man as the Pharisees question him to see if the man will confess that Jesus is claiming to be God. You see, the Pharisees were always looking for a loophole, always looking for a way to get at Jesus. And look in your notes. Some of the Pharisees said, this man's not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Why did they say that? Because he healed on the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. I just love how John describes this. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you got to say about him? I mean, here are theologians. Here are scholars asking a blind man a theological question. Don't you see the irony in this? What do you have to say about him? Was it your eyes he opened? No. Isn't that a big enough miracle? Are you okay this morning? The man said he's a prophet. At this point in his testimony, it said the once blind man gives, and he doesn't even understand the full picture, and he only has the information that people told him around him who Jesus was, and he has the encounter with Jesus and then informs his message. So when he says, can sinners perform these signs? And is he a prophet? The man is telling the testimony from his education. He never needed to study with Jesus for hours or follow him along the countryside to share a testimony about Jesus. All he needed was that encounter that changed his life, and no one could dispute it. Even the skeptical Pharisees could not refute it. Someone can dispute your beliefs or your convictions, but they cannot dispute the work of God in your life. That's why your testimony is so powerful. That's why your story has such significant impact, is because it's your story. Secondly, a testimony is about how I know God. The same goes for us. We can tell our testimony based on the facts of what we know. This man shares that as the Pharisees come back another round of questioning, and they have this quick back and forth, and I want to hang on to that. The second time, they summon the man again. Look what it says in verse 25. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I can just imagine this guy's just like, he's done. One thing I know, what's he say? I was blind. Can you read? And now I? Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answers, I have already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? This is so powerful. Look at the next sentence. Do you want to become his disciples too? Again, he acts within the bounds of what he knows. He was blind, but now he sees, and he hangs on that encounter with God, even when he's being pressed into giving witness. We don't need fancy words or to get technical in our testimonies of Jesus. The blind man shows us. All we need is an understanding of how Jesus has encountered us and a willingness to tell that our story over and over again. Now, this is not me saying that we just need to know the basics to be a Christian. Because at the end of the chapter, there's a reconnection of the teaching and the and then that the blind and even the Pharisees receive, where the blind man begins to understand more about who Jesus is. But it's the beginning. But there's one more thing that this blind man does. He offers up an invitation. The Pharisees ask him that question. What did he do to you? And then he says, you don't even want to hear it. Or, do you want to become his disciples too? Like, all he knows is his life has been transformed. Now he can see. Maybe you want to know him too. Because telling our story is so significant. The blind man ends his testimony with an inviting question. Do you want to become his disciples too? Do you want to receive the same power that is Jesus Christ? Because telling our story is great. We bear witness to Jesus and glorify his name. But I want to encourage you to end your testimony and the gospel message or the end of any God conversation with a question. Do you want to become his disciples too? You see, that's the next point. A testimony ends with an invitation. Remember earlier, we might be afraid to tell people about Jesus. But if we don't, who will? Just entering into a God conversation is a powerful moment. But I want to encourage you, do not let the feel-good moment distract you from extending the teachings. The ask, do you want to be a disciple too? We need to not only share that Jesus is the way, we need to invite people to encounter Jesus for themselves, just like you and I have. It's been noted that in Canada, we're no longer in a post-Christian era, we're in a pre-Christian era. Many of the people you rub shoulders with have no context of the Jesus you and I knew. I had a friend of mine, he was an elder in one of the churches that I served, he was a football coach. When he was teaching his students a lesson, he told the story of David and Goliath, and everybody looked at him like he had three heads. They had no idea who they were, let alone the story that went with it. But the statistics coming out about Generation Z are that they are hungry for a spiritual encounter. There are people out there that are longing to experience God. So now let's get where the rubber meets the road. How do you communicate your testimony? It's really easy. I want to share how you can share your life with them. What has happened and what is happening. To do this, you need to be open and available, which is a hard step. But listen to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past, but see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Three things. Number one, my life before Jesus. Because every one of you had a life before Jesus. This new thing is Jesus. And these verses we're reading from, this prophecy of his coming, and the same verse is still true in a personal way to every one of you. You must first explain what you were, who the person you were before Christ or anything else. This is where we get hung up on, because we don't want to know what's happened in our life and we don't want to air all that dirty laundry. We don't need to dwell on that part of, because we're a new creation. He transformed and created streams and wastelands and paths in the wilderness. Jesus has overcome whatever has happened in the past. If you are transformed by Jesus, then you should not be ashamed of your past. Paul never was. Paul says time and time again that he was the one that murdered Christians before he met Jesus. We want that perfect balance of a personal story without getting too personal. That feels weird. And we also want to follow Jesus. And we take up a new way of life that Jesus is all about in his way. And so we cannot let the past define how we speak about what Jesus has done, but talk about the person you were before Jesus. That's the main thing you need to do. And Jesus is the main point of the story. Not to say that he was not around, but the point is to show that the powerful transformation that is Jesus Christ's death and resurrection in your life. My life was empty. My successes did not satisfy the longing in my life. I thought I had it all, but I was missing something. Part number two, how I met Jesus. Then we need to talk about the big moment when everything changed. That one distinct moment where it changed. Some of you might be nervous because you're probably saying, well, Bob, there have been a great handful of times when I met Jesus. For others, the moment might be not so many times for you. Here's a handy list that I've made. When I met Jesus, when I said I met Jesus, when I felt the Holy Spirit, when I gave my life to Jesus. None of these, now all of these make a testimony, but here's the tricky part. I tell you, when you write one testimony, you can start writing 100. When you encounter people through these blessed practices that we've talked about, we will understand that our testimony is not one size fits all, but that we need to feel the Holy Spirit lead us as we go into different parts of our lives, in different places where we work, where we live, where we play, where Jesus has touched us, and where he can use our lives as a believer. And then the third thing is, my life since I met Jesus. Then you should leave them with how Jesus is still active in your life today. Because we all know the story is not over. There is more that is happening. Every testimony is different. This is my opinion. So much more important than talking about who you were before, because you're letting the people you talk to about how Jesus is still active in your day-to-day life. Because a lot of people see God as a distant being in the clouds, but you and I know that he's closer than we think. So I want to encourage you to talk to them about Jesus and what he's currently doing in your life. So if you want to bless your neighbor, begin with prayer. Listen with care. Eat together. Serve with love, and share your story. If you engage in that and just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and give you opportunities, you'll just be surprised what God can do. Before I pray, I just want to let you know, in the month of September, I'm going to be starting a series on the book of Nehemiah. One of my favorite books in the Old Testament. Teaches us a lot about reconnecting with God. If you've never read the book, I encourage you to pick up a Bible or read it on your app, because there's some profound lessons that we can learn about refocusing on God. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you that every one of us who has opened up their lives to Jesus has a story. It may not be dramatic like the woman at the well. It may not even be dramatic like the man that was blind. But it's made an impact upon our lives. And Lord, there are people around us that need to hear that Jesus cares, that Jesus loves them, and that Jesus can make a difference. So as we go and share, may you grant us courage, may you grant us confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Holy Spirit leading us, giving us words. That even as we anticipate kickoff Sunday and conversations that we might be having even before that, that Lord, we would see you move in powerful ways. May you continue to help us to love like Jesus. And Lord, what that means is that we would tell them the story of Jesus and his love for them. So Lord, continue to speak to us, equip us, and use us as we seek to serve you. And all God's people said, amen.